Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. In a post-pandemic world, families are investing in activities close to home, and Dallas-based Invited is well-positioned to capture this growing opportunity. DBJ Associate Editor Alexa Reed leads our conversation.
As private clubs and exclusive programming increase in today's market, Dallas-based Invited looks to expand. Spearheaded by CEO David Pillsbury, the private club is one of the largest operators in North Texas, with more than 200 properties and over 400,000 members. With properties here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Pillsbury is here to talk about Invited's growth and what the company looks like coming out of the pandemic and what we can expect next. Hi, David. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you, Alexa.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. So first, walk me through Invited's footprint. Which clubs are here? Are you looking to expand? What's going on here in DFW?
Oh, we've been here a long time, and our roots are right here at Brookhaven Country Club, which is being renamed, by the way, Brookhaven Golf and Racquet Club, which we'll talk
about. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll talk more about racquet, specifically pickleball.
Oh, yes. We'll get into that because that's a big topic.
Yeah, so it's ironic, though, because Brookhaven's where we started 66 years ago, right here in Dallas, Texas, and we've been growing ever since. We started with a big vision by our founder, Bob Dedman, whose name is well known in the Dallas, actually in Texas, overall, UT and obviously here at SMU, here in Dallas. But he started with this pretty disruptive concept in 1957, which was, you know, I'm going to start a club where it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, where you grew up, who your parents were, where you live, what school you went to, what your religion was, which is typically what dictated what club you could join, and say, I'm going to start a club where anybody that can write a check can join. And that's what he did at Brookhaven. And so since then, we've grown to over 200 clubs across the country. We've got 29 clubs in Texas and about 15 in the greater Dallas Metroplex. So the center of our universe would have started with Brookhaven, but obviously many others that many of your listeners will be familiar with, Canyon Creek, Glen Eagles, Hackberry Creek, the Constellation Club, which is where I'm calling from now, here in Las Colinas, which is one of our two city clubs in town. The other one is the Tower Club in downtown Dallas. Oakmont, Stonebriar, Stonebridge Ranch, Prestonwood, Timmeron, Craig Ranch, and a few others. So quite a footprint here in Dallas. And our largest footprint in terms of the, sort of the tightness of that geographic footprint. And then we've got a number of clubs in other large markets like Atlanta. Actually, we're in 20 of the top 20 major markets in the United States. So pretty solid footprint. Yeah,
it's a big footprint. And it just sounds like it's at a point where it's just going to continue to grow, which is very exciting.
It's interesting, though, Alexa, because, you know, the golf industry is at a very unique time in its journey. There's very little new supply. In fact, in some segments of golf courses, supply is shrinking, but demand continues to go up. So there's kind of a classic supply-demand imbalance, which is when you're on the club side of the business is a good thing. When you're on the consumer side of the business, you know, maybe not so good. Because, you know, obviously it's tougher to get into a club, but we've seen that really since the pandemic and it just hasn't slowed down.
And you had just previously said with Brookhaven, the concept was to target anybody that could write a check, which I think is very interesting. And I think with clubs, they've evolved so much in the last 50 years, the last 10 years, maybe. How are you? And I know with interviews in the past, you've really talked about the new generation coming into these clubs. So how are you adapting to a new generation of members with remote work still a factor in the workplace? What is Invited doing to accommodate to that work style? And even just the younger generation, how are you getting them in? Are they coming from their previous families? Are they just coming in because they're just interested? And how are you bringing that new generation in?
It's a great question. And I'd say there's really three components to the answer. The first is the importance of creating an inclusive environment where everybody feels comfortable. And that's simply not the case at a lot of clubs. I mean, they're very clicky and walk in and you're not sure who to talk to and it's not comfortable. And we try to create the opposite environment where it's very warm and welcoming for all different types of people, very diverse backgrounds, including age, right? And that really leads to the second, which is the amenities that are available. So a lot of clubs are simply outdated with respect to what people want. They want Wi-Fi that works. They want the right dining amenities. They want the right workout amenities. And so many of these old clubs haven't spent the money over the past 25 or 30 years to keep up. And so Gen Xers, for example, want different things than baby boomers want. And that's really the target, right? Is to be as relevant as possible for Gen Xers. And the Gen Yers are coming up, but they oftentimes don't have the means yet to be in the private club world, but they're on their way. And they're saying, you know, that the largest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind is going to occur here in the next 20 years. And that means that more and more people will have the economic means to pursue luxury and the things that they want, which means in many cases, private clubs, which really leads to the third leg of the stool. So making sure that we have the right amenities, which we call repositioning, investing in the assets, like at Brookhaven, what we've done at Glen Eagles and Craig Ranch and Tiburon and Canyon Creek, bringing these clubs up to what the local consumer wants. So we look at positioning as if you think about a club that has stayed static while a surrounding population's wealth and expectation has continued to increase. If you don't change the amenities at the club becomes irrelevant to the marketplace. Right. So the investment in amenities we call repositioning makes it relevant to the consumer base. So that's number one. And there's And it ties to our growth strategy because there's about 1,000 clubs across the country that are not relevant to the local marketplace because they haven't made those investments, right? So that leads to number three, as I mentioned, which is programming. We say, you know, what's the most important thing at a club? Three things: programming, programming, and programming. And that's simply creating relevant activities for all of the different constituents to engage at the club. One comes to mind called the Bad Moms Club, which actually started at Trophy Club, one of our clubs here in the Dallas Metroplex. And it was a club that started by a member called Bad Moms. And these moms that aren't good golfers that got together and drank wine and played golf and they got T-shirts. And that quickly turned into a national program called the Bad Moms Club, which we now have at most of our clubs across the country. Why? Because there's an audience that that caters to. And we do the same thing with every constituent. We call them micro communities. And what we do is we like to facilitate and essentially program these micro communities so that they spend time together at the club, which means they're engaged. And when they're engaged, they don't leave.
Absolutely. And speaking of programming, that leads into my next question. What type of programming is Invited currently pursuing other than the Bad Moms Club? And what is Invited looking to add?
So programming, really, you need to think about every area of the club. It touches all dimensions and all amenities at the club. So, for example, if you look at pickleball or if you look at tennis, it's typically around creating competitions of various types for various levels of skill. If you look at the culinary world, it's about celebrating around wine and food. So it's about you know, chef's meals and wine tasting dinners and things like that. Golf, it's about creating social interactions for different skill levels, having a wine and nine program on Wednesday night so that you can go play nine holes and enjoy good wine and take advantage of the culinary offerings of the club. In fitness, it's about classes. It's about creating opportunities for people to come in and exercise together and do what members like to do, which is to fellowship and connect and build relationships. So it depends on what part of the club. So literally, there's programming occurring at every part of the club, and much of it is actually then integrated so that we're encouraging a family that might come one time a week to a club that has not focused on programming, might now come two or three times during that week to take advantage of the programming that's being offered. Then we do some pretty innovative things, like we're testing electronic gaming at Brookhaven, actually, for kids that aren't into golf, they're not into tennis, they're not into pickleball, but they're into electronic gaming, which happens to be the number one sport in the world. And we're trying to get the kids out of their rooms and into the club with their parents. We call that, again, an example of a micro community that we try to build at the club. And that's really the soul of the company, is to build relationships and enrich lives. And that's what we do through these micro communities.
I read, I think, that y'all had started doing the electronic gaming for kids. And I think that that's very interesting to go into, because usually that's an at-home thing. So incorporating that in your clubs is very interesting, and it'll get those kids out there. So I'm going to kind of dive into pickleball just for a little bit, because that's been a huge craze in the DFW Metroplex. For Invited specifically, when was the time you and your team knew pickleball was an investment you wanted to make?
I would say, you know, during the pandemic, pickleball really began to, you know, emerge as a growth sport within racket. And we very quickly identified this as a new micro community opportunity for us to build. And it was easy for us to do it because, you know, unlike Chicken and Pickle or some of these other pickleball concepts, they had to build a restaurant. We already have a restaurant. We already have tennis courts and we have real estate. And so the first thing we did is we said, look, we're going to embrace the genius of the and not or, because tennis is also growing. I mean, it grew 33% on a much bigger number. So tennis is still a very important part of our racket program. It just so happens that pickleball is growing faster, right? So we decided to start adding courts. Now we have over 460 pickleball courts across the country. We're the largest pickleball footprint actually in the United States, which is something that isn't known. 1,300 courts in total when you combine pickleball and tennis, which is pretty exceptional. So we started a couple of years ago. We ramped up very quickly. We hired a national director of racket sports about 2 years ago and really began to focus on the physical plant and then overlaying the programming. And then once we established ourselves as a leader, we thought, you know, we need to also establish ourselves in the professional side of the sport in order to be authentic for amateurs. Because pickleball is interesting. When you go to a professional event, it's this amalgamation of professional players and amateurs. So the amateurs go play and then they come watch the best players in the world play. You can't do that at a golf tournament or at a Cowboys game. I mean, it's a really, really interactive experience, which consumers are craving. They love these interactive experiences. And so we decided to partner with Tom Dundon and the PPA, which is now merged with Major League Pickleball, to form one national pickleball league. Mm-hmm. And we host four of the major pickleball tournaments for the PPA, including the largest pickleball tournament that has ever been played, which will be this November right here at Brookhaven Golf and Racquet Club, the beginning of Club Corp Now Invited, on November 10th, which is going to be quite spectacular. We'll have 4,000 competitors. So a remarkable footprint of competition for the best players in the world and amateurs from all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that I didn't even know that was happening. That sounds very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It'll be the largest pickleball footprint and then the most number of pickleball competitors ever assembled.
Wow, that's going to be a show.
Yeah, it really will kind of underscore what's happened to pickleball. And I think we'll be viewed as the major championship for pickleball for many years to come. And literally people coming from, Alexa, all over the United States to compete. It is going to be quite an experience and great for Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. And just with the rise of pickleball in DFW in general, I mean, I've come across so many announcements. I've written so many stories just about the influx of pickleball communities and new buildings and new restaurants. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, we did Pickleball in the Sky as an example of some great programming up at Tower Club Dallas. So on the 46th floor of the Thanksgiving Tower, we had a pickleball court in one of our banquet facility rooms, which you probably read about. And it's been wildly popular, as you might imagine, and still going on as we speak, which is pretty cool. And so we think that this event in November for Farmers Branch, which, by the way, have been an amazing city partner because it puts that city on the map and it really gives Brookhaven this new identity as one of the best racket facilities in the United States, never mind Texas.
David Pillsbury joining us. Next, lessons learned from the pandemic. When Texas Business Minds continues.
This year at Texas Mutual Insurance Company, we're celebrating 25 years of dividends and a record $340 million dividend distribution to Texas businesses. See how business is better with Texas Mutual at texasmutual.com/dividends.
At Independent Financial, we know you work hard for your business. That's why we work hard for you. Ready to get down to business? Let's talk at ifinancial.com/business. Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life.
Now, I want to go back to, I think you mentioned when you made the investment into pickleball, it was during COVID. So talk to me about the state of Invited after the COVID-19 pandemic. What are some strategies and tactics you've implemented to keep the business going? And have they stayed in place coming out of the pandemic?
Well, when the pandemic hit, we, like most businesses, essentially shut down. I mean, we had many clubs that were closed. There was a period, which I think people have probably forgotten, where there was a lot of discussion about closing golf courses in the state of Texas. Golf courses in California were closed, and we worked very, very hard with state political leaders, with the leaders of the golf industry, to educate people that this was a healthy, safe outdoor activity that should be embraced during COVID. And ultimately, we prevailed. But there was months where there was tremendous uncertainty. We laid off 10,000 people in 7 days. I mean, it was really, really scary and very, very painful. We provided meals for our employees because we had kitchens. And so we would prepare family meals twice a week for our people that were laid off to come pick up. And they relied on that. So it was a very scary time. And then golf became very popular as an alternative, as a healthy place to go gather with friends. And I think people discovered the importance of human connection during COVID. I mean, when something's taken away, you realize how important it is. And as a consequence, I think the rediscovery of golf, and particularly country clubs, has stuck because people are saying, this is an important part of my life and I'm not going to give it up. And that's really been a shifting of priorities that came out of COVID that happened to benefit our industry. So what we've had to do is make sure we're providing contemporary services and amenities for this new audience of golfers. And so we've invested tremendous amounts of capital. Over 5.5 years, we've invested almost $500 million in improvements to these clubs to ensure that they are relevant to this expanding audience that we have. And so coming out of COVID, we really doubled down on that investment, which wasn't easy to do because we haven't been producing cash flow. Everything we've made, we've put back in the business because we believe in its future and it's paid off. So we're very happy that we've made those investments and it's positioned the clubs and the company really well to take advantage of what we think is a really bright future.
Great. That sounds amazing. And I know it's been, you know, it's difficult to kind of reposition yourself within the market coming out of a pandemic and continue to establish yourself within the pandemic. So it sounds like it's been, like you said, pretty successful.
It has. You know, we lost some of our coworkers during the pandemic. I mean, these were people working on the front line and, you know, we celebrate their memory. And we worked very closely with our members to try and make sure they were protected. And we focused very heavily on communication. And I think we really managed it as well as you could possibly manage it. And as a result, I think we actually increased the level of trust that we have with our members. They know that we have their best interests in mind. And I think that bodes well for kind of the soul of the company and certainly contributes to what we believe to be, a great future.
What does Invited offer that you find your competitors lacking? And what keeps Invited innovative?
I think, you know, our focus on, again, this concept we call repositioning, which is investing in infrastructure, amenities, product quality, and service that makes the club relevant to the contemporary needs of the local marketplace. And what's interesting about that, Alexa, is it's different at every club. I mean, every club is unique. You know, these are not like McDonald's or Burger King's where it's the same structure, it's the same menu. They're all unique. And that's what members want. They want their club to be unique. The identity they have is with their club. So if I'm a member at Las Colinas Country Club, that's my club. And yeah, that's nice. It's part of Invited, but that's not relevant to me. What's relevant to me is that you're providing the products, the services, the programming, and the amenities that I want as a member. And that depends on, you know, where the club is located. It depends on the competitive marketplace. It depends on the target market that we're going after in the local marketplace. So we spend a lot of energy and time thinking through, first, the physical plant. Second, the level of product quality the market demands. And then third, the programming that membership base is looking for in order to be most relevant in the marketplace. And that's what makes us unique, because we don't see other clubs doing that to the extent we're doing it, which I think gives us a competitive edge.
Absolutely. And you talked about, you said it was repositioning. Now, I know you recently had discussed, I believe, with the Dallas Business Journal about a $100 million investment to reposition over 20 clubs. What does that specifically look like within the country club, and how does that affect your members directly? And are there any repositioning happening here in DFW?
Yeah, so there are a number of examples here in the Metroplex. I just mentioned one of them, Las Colinas Country Club, which we spent probably $7 or $8 million redoing the golf course, improving the practice facilities. We have now, we think, one of the best golf courses in the Metroplex, improving all of the amenities and offerings to the member base that we're targeting at Las Colinas. That was one of the first ones we did. The clubs at Prestonwood, Glen Eagles, right now we're redoing the second golf course. I would say one of the other ones that we're really excited about is Canyon Creek. We just redid the golf course at Canyon Creek, and that is going to be reopening in October. And then we'll begin the repositioning of the clubhouse amenities and all the racket sports amenities this winter. And so we've got now in process about another kind of $75 million worth of repositionings. We're doing one in Austin that actually is a rebranding of a club. I mean, the repositioning was so dramatic that we actually changed the name of the club. So it used to be called Lost Creek. And we just did the brand reveal to the members last week. And it's now called Westlake Country Club. And it's a complete Lanny Watkins golf course redo, and be a complete pool and fitness and pickleball and tennis. And then the clubhouse is next, which happens starting this winter, going into next season. So we've got a lot of work underway, and members are really excited about it. And it's having quite an impact.
No, that sounds amazing to even just rebrand an entire country club just with adding and repositioning. I think that's great to hear, especially in Austin. But you've recently said in an interview with the Playbook at the Dallas Business Journal that Invited is looking to buy 3 to 5 private clubs per year. What factors keep you in position to achieve this goal?
What's happening in the marketplace, Alexis, there's about, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, about 1,000 clubs that look just like Lost Creek looked before we repositioned it. They haven't spent the money to redo the golf course. They haven't spent the money to add the racket sport amenities. They haven't spent the money on fitness, on aquatics. And so consequently, they're out of position in the marketplace. So we go to these private clubs that are owned by the members, and they're run by doctors, dentists, lawyers, investment bankers, who really don't know how to run private clubs. They're very smart in their own right, and they run their business very, very well. And we say to them, listen, they're struggling with the fact that they're out of position, and they're thinking, wow, we got to spend $5 to $7 million, maybe even 10, to reposition the club, and we're going to have to write the check. And we come in and we say, no, there's an alternative. You don't have to write the check. We'll do it. So you sell us your club, we'll put the money in, and you can do what you want to do as a member, which is play golf and swim and eat and play pickleball and not worry about running the club. That's what we do for a living. That's a very attractive alternative to a lot of private clubs that are functionally irrelevant in their markets because they haven't made the investments over the past 25 years. So that's our acquisition strategy. And we're working on a club right now up in the Midwest that is in exactly that position. It's interesting because they redid their golf course, but they didn't redo the rest of their amenities. They ran out of money. And we're saying, we'll provide the money, we'll run the club, and they're thrilled. They can't wait to hand us the keys and have us make the significant capital investment to upgrade the balance of their club. So for your listeners who happen to be members at private clubs, if you're frustrated with the amenities and you're thinking, I wish my club was more contemporary, we could be the answer to your prayers. So it's a very simple strategy, and we're better at it than anybody in the business. So we're looking forward to exercising that at least 3 to 5 times a year.
That's pretty much kind of like the equation to make it as simple as possible, is just to give the members what they want.
That's basically, actually, it's funny you say it that way, Alexa, because, you know, people say, well, what's your strategy? That's it. Give the members what they want. I mean, it's not rocket science. It just happens to be very expensive. It requires a lot of capital.
David, you've been great. I got one more question. What opportunity for Invited over the next year has you most excited?
These repositionings are so cool and so energizing. It's hard to really even describe it. When you take this old golf course like Canyon Creek, or even better, because we just did the reveal and the rebrand, you take Lost Creek and the reveal around the rebranding, it's like a rebirth. And when you see the impact it has on these people whose involvement at this club is such an integral part of their life, it's incredibly rewarding. And so it's rewarding when you see the excitement of our teammates, but it's even more rewarding when you see the members so excited about taking this centerpiece in their lives and massively improving it and what it does to that community. I mean, it's really energizing and really rewarding. And I'm excited because we've got, you know, multiple properties in the pipeline for 2024 where this repositioning will be completed and we'll be able to experience this cathartic sense of accomplishment of a new milestone, a new high. The bar has been raised and it's just very gratifying. And it is for everybody involved, which makes it kind of a win-win-win.
Yeah, it makes you want to keep going, right?
It does, 100%.
Thanks to Invited Club CEO David Pillsbury for joining us. And thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. Learn more at ifinancial.com.